Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and if you remember, we've been talking about Cornelius. And Cornelius was a centurion. He was, we would call maybe a captain. And so, but he believed in prayer, and he believed in helping people. And the Bible says that that came up as a memorial to the Lord. And so last week we studied how God spoke to Cornelius, and then God spoke to Peter, and he connected the two, and Cornelius and his household got saved, and it was great things. And so I titled this, The Baptism of the Holy Spirit Made the Difference. Amen. The Baptism of the Holy Spirit Made the Difference. So Acts chapter 11 says, Now the apostles and the brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of the Lord. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcised contended with him, saying, You went into an uncircumcised man and ate with him? And Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object. And so we've talked about that. Let's skip down to about verse 10. It says, Now this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And at that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in the house who said to him, Send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning, and meaning the day of Pentecost. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard those things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Father God, we just come before you today and we are so thankful, Lord, that you allow us into your presence. Lord, you invite us into the very throne room of heaven. And Lord, I believe, Lord, that's where we are at right now in this moment. We feel your presence in this house. I know the Spirit is already moving and touching lives, and great things have already been accomplished, God. But Lord, we just pray that you would continue to move. I pray, Lord, for your anointing upon your word, which I know your word is anointed. I pray for the anointing upon me as a speaker, as a conduit. And I pray for the anointing of God to be upon each person in this room today, that their ears would be open to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, that encouragement from the Spirit of God would flow like water today in this place. Let a mighty fountain of your grace, like we sing about, let that fountain of grace just flood us today and bring hope and joy to our life. And Lord, I pray that any hopelessness, any despair, any discouragement will be just cast off of us in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that we would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for us individually, not just as a church, but for us individually. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. So we know the story. We've been studying the story, it seems like, for about 2 weeks now. And what God was doing in Cornelius' life. And then all of a sudden, Peter gets called up basically to Jerusalem, to the church, to the leaders. And they're asking him, not so nicely probably, what in the world have you been up to? You know, I heard that you went into the house of a Gentile and that you ate with him. Now this was not a customary thing. This was actually against their law. And so Peter in Acts chapter 11 begins to tell the story. Here's how it went down. Here's what happened. And so he tells them the story of his vision And here's what happened. The Lord came to me. I went into a trance. Here's what happened. And there's silence. It's like they heard this and it did not move them. And then he says this word. Well, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me to do this. Again, there's silence. And if you've been in the ministry any length of time at all, that one probably evoked silence. Because people come up with some strange things once in a while that the Holy Spirit told them to do. And a lot of times it ain't the Holy Ghost, right? And so I've had people tell me crazy things that they said the Lord, trying to convince me that the Lord told them to do. And I will just throw this out to you. The Lord will never contradict his word. So the Lord will not ask you to do something that the word does not give us permission and tell us is godly. But the church is calling the man of God on the carpet. He said, Dale said, it wasn't the government that was bothering us. It was the religious people. I'm telling you, when the church begins to do what God has called you to do, you're going to find out there's a lot of religious people in this town that will not be happy with a church that follows Jesus. So let's not be unaware, right? Let's not be ignorant concerning Satan's devices, is what the Word of God says. Just know that when we do the will of the Lord, it won't make everybody happy. Matter of fact, it'll make some people really unhappy. And then Peter gets to the part. He says, well, I was preaching to those dudes. He said, all of a sudden, the same thing that happened to us on the day of Pentecost happened in that room. He said, I looked over and they began to speak in tongues. It was the power of the Holy Spirit was on them. And all of a sudden, the men that were silent began to praise and glorify God. And they realized that this was a sovereign thing that God had done, that God was bringing two very, very different people and bringing them into unity and making them one. And that's who we are today. But in verse 18, he says, when they heard this, they said they became silent. And then they glorify God, saying, listen to this. Now, I want you to underline this in your Bible. Then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. Repentance to life. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, that he demonstrates his love for us and that he died for us in Romans 5:8. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, he says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, stop for just a second and think about this. Too many times, child of God, we forget what he has done for us. And it's just good every once in a while. You know, Paul said, I have to forget those things that I used to do and I press towards the mark. And that's our normal stance, is that we don't live in the past. We keep moving forward. But every once in a while, we need to revisit what Jesus has done for us, because we were not good people. We were this is who we used to be. We were those sinners. We were dead in our trespasses, but God, who is rich in mercy and grace, God intersected our life and he dug out the pit that you was in. He went to the pit for you and for me. And God has brought us, this is so good, he brought us from repentance, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a savior, unto life. I'm telling you, he wants life for you. John 10:10 says, Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest, have it abundant. I think too many Christians get caught up in this world, not realizing that just because you prayed the prayer, he's not finished with you. the work is begun and you are moving. He has moved you out of death and he's moving you to life, not just spiritually, but physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, every which way. God says, I want you to have life. I want you to be full. I want you to be joyful. I want you to be hopeful. But I'm telling you, Christians all across the land are not living that way. We have Christians that are hopeless. Why? Because we're listening to the wrong voice. We need the power of the Holy Spirit back in the church. You know, so many people in the world, they don't even believe there is a devil. Right? I mean, if I was the devil, that's exactly the strategy I would use. That's brilliant. If they don't believe that I'm here, if they don't believe that I exist, then I can wreak all kinds of havoc on their life, right? But the Word says, the Word is truth. The Word says that according to the prince of the power of the air that you used to walk. You see, you thought you were doing your own thing. And the people that you work with, the people that you rub shoulders with every day, they think, I'm my own man. No, you're not. There is a voice that's being played in your head that Satan is the one speaking. And you're winding up, if you're not careful, you're following that voice. Every sinner is following the voice of the devil. They just don't know it. And the devil says, hey, you can do this and nobody will know. Hey, you can smoke this and nobody will know. What's he doing? He's taking you to death. He's leading you down the wrong path. And God is up there like this. Whoa, stop, 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 stop. To the point that now, when you talk about repentance, the church says, oh, I don't like repentance. Oh, we think it's embarrassing to repent. Are you kidding me? Repentance is the greatest thing that God has granted us. The fact that you can repent, it's a blessing of God. I never did finish that, did I? But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You didn't work for it. You don't even deserve it. But because of God's great mercy and his love, he saved us. In Romans chapter 2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You need to understand, there's natural law and there's spiritual law. And the law of sin and death was working in your life before you got saved. Are you listening to me? That law was at work, bringing you destruction. The way of the man seems right in his own eyes, but the end thereof is destruction. It's death, right? And God intersects our life by his mercy and his grace. Why? Because with just a prayer of repentance, with just saying, Lord, I know I need a Savior. The Lord says, I can take you from this prayer of repentance and bring you to life. Now, that's not just talking about heaven. Heaven, yes, is part of it, but he wants you to have life right here on earth. He wants you to experience the joy of the Lord in your everyday life. He wants you to have peace. He wants your marriage to be good. He wants you to be able to raise your children. Thank you for your excitement. Romans 15:13 says, the God of hope. Mm-mm-mm. This is the Holy Spirit describing the God that we serve. Yes. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Any of you abounding today? Do I have any abounders? Do you know he wants every one of us to abound? Yes. hope you get this. I just feel like Christians are getting satisfied with knowing they're going to heaven. Well, I got my ticket punched. Bless God. And Jesus is like, oh, but you got 70 years here. That I don't want you to live just thinking I'm going to heaven. I want you to make a difference in this world. Yes, you're going to heaven, but who are you taking with you? Also, he says, I don't want you just to exist. I don't want my church to be miserable. I have met a lot of miserable Christians. Haven't you? A lot of angry Christians. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, sometimes you can't tell the difference between the saved and the unsaved. Until they tell you, oh yeah, I'm saved. You know, your mouth drops open. Really? You're saved? Well, why don't you act like it? What happened to the joy? What happened to the peace of the Holy Spirit? What happened to allowing Him to get large in your life? Repentance, not to half life, not to a smidgen of life. Repentance to life. I'm telling you, what happened in that Gentile's house brought them from death to life, and Peter got to witness it. And he said, I knew that it was happening when I began to hear them speak in tongues. That God was not a respecter of people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Christians, He wants us overflowing. You hear me? Overflowing. I think that Cornelius was for the rest of his life grateful for the man of God that would step out and go to a Gentile's house. He didn't have to do that, but he did it for me. He did it so that I would know what's happening. I'm telling you, Peter was obedient to say yes when God said go. See, the very thing that Peter did is still our mission today. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, he said that I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew 28, he says, go and make disciples. I'm telling you, it's like the word go and make disciples is still hanging out there. Does that make sense? Just like let there be light, that word, we're still existing on that word. In Hebrews, it says that all things are held together by the word of his power. Are you getting this? So when he said 2,000 years ago, go and make disciples, that is a word for the church today. Go across the street, go to Kroger's, go to Walmart, go somewhere and make a disciple of Christ. I feel like the Lord gave me this line. He said the church is majoring on the minors and forgetting the call of God. We're getting so busy doing good things, and I believe the church should do good things. We're trying to feed the sick. We're taking up an offering to help those that have had destruction in life. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing, but let's keep our priorities right. What does God really want out of the church? Does he just want us to send an offering over here, give our clothes over here, and do this? All these good things are great, but it's not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to go and make disciples. In Romans chapter 10, verse 12 through 15, this is exactly what happened. He says there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. Let's stop for just one second, because I really need to, sometimes I just need to drop information into you. So when the Lord brought the Gentiles into salvation, it was not at the cost of our Jewish brothers and sisters. He did not replace the Jewish believers with us. He grafted us into the vine of Christ. right? We are now grafted into the same vine that Israel is flourishing from. That vine is Jesus Christ. Therefore, when the Lord said that we should pray for Israel, we ought to pray for Israel because we love Israel. Not just because his word said to, but because we have a deep love for them. Why? Because we're one. I'm telling you, the church brought it all together. We are neither male nor female, slave or free, Jew or Greek. We have been made one in Christ. Now Romans chapter 10 says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Verse 13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Right? One day, long time ago, you called on that name. And the Lord was faithful to save your soul. And there are people that you are around every day that have not called on that name that you ought to be praying for. Lord, bring salvation to my neighbor's household. Then Paul asked four questions. Number one, he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they going to call on the name of Jesus if they don't believe in the name of Jesus? Number two, how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Now most everybody in this room would say this, well, there's nobody in Paris that have not heard the name of Jesus. Let me just tell you something. There's a lot of people in Paris that know about religion, but they don't know Jesus as their Savior. They don't know the Jesus that we have an intimate relationship with. I'm telling you, sometimes we got to push through this religion thing and introduce them to the Christ that we serve. He goes on in the third question. He says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And he is not talking about the person behind the pulpit. He's talking about you. You are the preacher. I am the equipper. I am to equip you so that you can preach the gospel to your neighbor. Why? Because there's about 200 or 300 of you. And there's one of me. And if we want to win Paris, it's not going to be done by one. It's going to be done by 300. Winning your neighbors to Christ, right? So how shall they hear without a preacher? And then the fourth thing he says, and how shall they preach unless they're sent? I was going to bring a stick today. Here we go. I commission you, minister of the gospel. I commission you, oh boy, don't preacher, you are called to preach the gospel of peace, the gospel of Jesus. It is not about who stands back here. It's about the church grabbing hold of the word of God and saying, I am that one that's called. You know, I've been to Africa with Dale. And I'm going to tell you this. This is in all honesty. It's a whole lot easier to go to Tanzania, Africa, and share the gospel on the streets than it is to walk across your street and talk to your neighbor. But God has not called you to Africa if you've not been. He has called you to go across the street. You need to go across the street. And then he ends with something. He says, Paul is writing, he says, as it is written, goes back to Isaiah, I believe. And he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. I personally don't think there's anything uglier than our feet. I really had a thought today. I may just kick my shoes and socks off and let them see how beautiful these feet are. You know, the first crowd was a little nicer than you folks. Here's what he's saying. Now, come on, listen. When you begin to do the will of the Lord, he will take the ugly part of you and he'll make it beautiful. Isn't that a word? He'll take the part that you will try to hide from everyone. He won't, you don't want them to see your ugly side. But he redeems you to the point when you begin to share the gospel. He said, I'm going to turn your ugliness into beauty. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, when the Lord dropped that into my heart, I just about shouted in my office. I said, oh God, if you can make these feet pretty, let's do it. Right? I'm telling you, when we do the will of the Lord, even the bad parts of our life begin to shine. That's good. Thank you for getting so excited. Then the verse 17, as we had our men's meeting this week, I talked to them about increasing our faith and building our faith. And we said, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And that's so true, it does. But let's not take that out of context. Let's put that back in context. How are they going to hear unless a preacher goes out? Faith comes by hearing. Oh, come on. Think about your neighbor. Quit griping about him being such a drunk. Him being such a this and such a that. Maybe he's never heard the good news that Jesus is there able to redeem who he is. Because faith comes by hearing. He may not bow his knee the very first time you talk to him. The guy that got saved here today, I've been preaching to the guy for 2 years. I've been saying, God, go get him. Get him, God. Get him, God. And as I preached today, I watched his face and I thought, oh, Jesus, you're doing something. I'm telling you, hallelujah. Does that make sense to you? Yes. It ain't your timetable. You just got to keep sowing that seed. Faith comes by hearing. He may not get it the first time that you talk to him about Jesus. He may not get it the second time. He may not get it the 10th time. You just keep sowing that, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Doesn't that make sense? There's a couple of stories that Christ shared with us as parables about a choice field and stuff like that. But I'm going to skip that. And I want to go to what happened to me this week. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. I'm not going to read it, but it says that Jesus returned to Capernaum and he was staying in this house. And I think that he wanted a quiet time with his disciples. But when he got to the house, he realized the house was full because people heard that he was going to be in town. And they all crammed into this little house. And there's these four friends that went and got their buddy who was paralyzed. And they put him on a mat and they were carrying him to Christ. They wanted to get him into that house, but there that wasn't happening. We can't get him in here. What are we going to do? You know, we brought him all this way. What are we going to do? We can't get our friend to Christ. Our friend's got to get to Christ. I tell you what. What if we go up on top of that roof and tear a hole in it? Yep. Hey, you spot for me, would you? Tell me where Christ is standing in that house. I can see one guy peering behind the door. Oh, a little bit more this way. Now let's drop him down, because you're going to drop him right in front of Christ. They begin to lower their friend to Christ. And he looks at him and he says, I see your faith. And he wasn't talking to that man. He was talking to the men on the roof. Who had the faith in this story? Those guys on the roof. Said, I see your faith. See, we read it and it looks like he's talking to the guy on the pier. I see your faith. I see what you're doing. And I'm going to honor it. And he heals that old paralyzed fella. Woo, boy, I'm telling you, life was changed. He went from repentance to life. And the guy that mentioned that story to me today, or this week as we were in the men's meeting, it was Darren. Back there, I think he was in here. There he is. Darren looked at me and he said this. He said, the men of this church tore the roof off for me. He did not know what he had just did to me. he tore me up. I'm sitting there in front of this other man saying to myself, hold it together, hold it together, hold it together. Don't start crying, you ugly face. And I felt the ugly face cry getting ready to happen. I'm going to tell you, people have given me lots of compliments. They've said a lot of nice things about me. But there's no one that's ever spoke a word like that to me. You and the men of this church tore the roof off so that I could get to Jesus. I'm telling you, that is powerful. And that, my friend, is the mission of the church. That's the mission of the church. Are we loving enough to tear somebody's roof off? Might get you sued today, but it's still... Man, he's worth it. Come up here, Darren. I've never done this. And I hate to embarrass people, but when I met this guy, he was depressed and depressing. I'm telling you, he was a mess. He was not the man that you're looking on today. Why? Because he has went from repentance to life. Do you know some people like that? Do you know some people like that? Come on. Do you know some people like that? They're miserable. They don't realize. See, right now, they're walking according to the prince and the power of this air, the devil. The devil has given them their direction, and they're following the devil's. But God... There it is. But God. God wants us to tear the roof off for somebody. Would you stand with me? Do you remember what Jesus said to the paralyzed guy? He said, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Whoa. They didn't like that, did they? They said, who does he think he is that he can forgive sins? Not who he thinks he is, it's who he knew he was, right? He is Jesus, God. You know, I believe there's people in here that you know all about religion. You hear me? You know all about religion, but do you know Jesus? You know, the most miserable life that you can live in this world is one where you have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Oh, it's miserable, because you can't be happy in your sin and you can't be happy when you're under the presence of God. You're just miserable. Listen. Jesus has not called us to misery. He's called us to life. Now, do you need life in your body? Do you need life in your marriage? Do you need life with your children? Where do you need life? That's where we need to bring the light of the gospel. Wherever it seems like hopelessness is, Jesus is not there. Does that make sense? Because when Jesus walks on the scene, all of a sudden it becomes hopeful. Jesus brings hope to wherever he's at. I'm just going to say, if you're here today, whether you've ever asked him into your heart, or whether you've said, Lord, come into my heart, but you just feel like you're a long way from that life, I'm going to ask you to step out and come and stand down here. We're going to end this thing with praying for you, that you would experience life in Jesus today. not religion, life. Amen. Sing it, Treva.
If it's bandaging the broken, washing filthy feet, here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving one another, even when we don't agree, here I am, Lord, send me. Let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you.
Okay, hold up, Treva. Hold up. I feel like the Lord just said, that's the call right there. You know you should be going out and you're not going out. Say, I know the mission, but I've been lazy. If you need to come and just stand in front up here, and just tell Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me that I have not been obedient to what you've called me to do. I believe there's people here that are saying, I need to get on with the call of God. I need to do. Deacons, would you come up? Would you land behind these guys and begin to pray for each one of them? Anyone here asking Jesus to come into your heart for the first time or want to get right with God, maybe there needs to pray a prayer of repentance, then every one of you here are just answering the call of God. Come on, Ray, get on up here. Denny, get on up here. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, for my brothers and sisters who have come up here. God, they have not come up here because I said something. They have come up here because they've been stirred by the Holy Spirit to do something that you have laid on their heart. Father, whether it's they need to get their own heart right. Lord, I think I know what it is. I think that you are expressing to these folks up here that they've not been tearing the roof off for no one except for themselves. The only person you've been praying for lately is me. And the Lord is opening your eyes. And he's saying there's a world out there and you have friends out there that need you to tear off the roof for them. Darren, get up here and pray for people. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that we would take up the mantle of God and that we would begin to do this for other people. Lord, there's nothing more encouraging than seeing someone go from repentance to life. To see the change that you have done in my brother keeps me going some days. And I pray, Lord, right now that the mantle of the Holy Ghost would rest upon these that were so brave that they stepped out of their seat and they said, I don't care if it does embarrass me. I'm calling on the name of the Lord today to do something in my heart. I pray right now, let the fire of the Holy Ghost rest upon these folks. Set them free from people's judgment. Set them free from everything and let them follow you with all their heart. God, I pray right now, Lord, that stands in front of me. There are preachers, there are evangelists, there are called of God. Father, I thank you, Lord. You are looking for someone that said, yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll speak up. Lord, put your mantle upon them. May the Spirit of God rest upon every one of them. Let them know, Lord, it's not about their wisdom. It's not about their strength. It is about the Spirit of God. You give us the words to speak. You give us the life to portray. You give us the hope to dispense. God, rest upon this. Rest upon these folks and change them for your glory. I pray, Lord, today a prophetic word that their feet are beginning to change. Their feet are going from unsightly to beautiful in Jesus' name. As we fall in obedience to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, thank you for what you've done in us. Now help us to duplicate ourselves. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
If the truth cuts like an arrow, I will say it anyway. Here I am, Lord, sit. Listen to this. And if it means that they'll reject me, Lord, I will still obey. 'Cause here I am, Lord, sit. And if I'm known by how I love, let my life reflect how much I love you. I love you. And before you even ask, oh, my answer will be yes, 'cause I love you. I love you. Glad I chose to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Well done, good and faithful, I live to hear you say, here I am, Lord, send me. And if I'm
Hallelujah. Come on. Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, Jesus. Oh, touch hearts today. Set them on fire. Set them on fire, Lord. Set your fire within them, Jesus. Hallelujah. I worship you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the liberator. You are the one that takes us from death to life. Lord, we accept your mantle today. Hallelujah. We worship you. We honor you. We go forward today with you. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Anything on your heart? Got a prophetic word or anything going on? Hallelujah. Prophetic word.
Where we're at, Lord, and you took us where you want us to go, Father. I thank you, God, that you know what every one of us is dealing with, God. You know our weak points. You know our struggles. And God, you love us enough not to leave us that way, but you love us enough to take us by the hand and walk with us every step of the way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 It's always wonderful when we get to experience God move. Get to see lives changed. God is so faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. If you're not blessed enough already, let's bless the Lord, shall we? May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.